Today on the Travel Guys.
Can a group of frequent flyers donate millions of dollars to people they've never met overseas? The answer is yes.
We have a very special program for you today, folks, all about something close to travelers' hearts, making the world a little better place.
We'll introduce you to Kiva, K-I-V-A, the group that is changing the world $25 at a time.
Plus, if you're flying this summer and haven't bought your ticket yet, you'll want to hear our summer airfare update. It's next in the news.
All that and more today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. It's a beautiful Sunday. I'm here in studio. Mark is on the road again, and we have a very, very special program, as we mentioned in our headlines today. Let's say hello to Mark Hoffman. Mark, where are you?
I am in Branson, Missouri, the entertainment capital of the world. Hey, Tom, Three Dog Night is in town.
Really? How cool is that?
We all said what would happen when the rock and roll groups came to Branson, and indeed the Creedence Clearwater Revival and Three Dog Night are right here in Branson.
There you go. Well, just goes to show us baby boomers are moving on. Well, all right. We'll hear more about Branson when you get back. Right now, though, let's find out what's going on in the travel news. What do you have for us today?
A couple of quick items here. Remember last week we had the story about the man who bought a ticket from Spirit Airlines, the veteran, and then was diagnosed with cancer?
I do, and they wouldn't refund his ticket.
They wouldn't refund his ticket. Well, guess what? Spirit Airlines, the meanie of all airlines here in the United States, has relented and admitted that they made a mistake. They have decided to refund Jerry Meekin's $197 fare. And in addition, they're going to make a $5,000 contribution in his name to the charity of his choice, which is Wounded Warriors, which assists veterans who come home with various issues. So in this case, the pressure brought to bear, there were over 20,000 negative messages left on their Facebook page. Can you imagine how many messages that would be?
That's crazy. Well, they did the right thing, even if it was for the wrong reason.
Took them a while to get there. Another quick update in case you're headed to the Pacific Northwest and you're looking for a quick way to get between Seattle and Portland, the Bolt bus, which has been very popular on the East Coast. It is run by Greyhound, although it's not a Greyhound bus, but it's kind of a commute bus between, it's going to start up between Seattle and Portland. They sell at least one seat on every bus for a dollar. And the regular fares range between $6 and $13 with a dollar per ticket booking fee. But it's a great way, a very efficient way to get between Seattle and Portland. They don't have quite the rail service that we have to San Francisco. So I thought I would mention that to folks. If you're headed to the Pacific Northwest this summer, don't buy an airline ticket between those two cities and fight the airports when you can just take a bus very quickly.
All right. In 3 minutes, tell us how folks can save some money and be smart travelers when it comes to airfares this year.
Well, this summer, Tom, looking and buying a couple tickets myself, I can see already at this point in the year, air space is getting tight. The airlines are getting really good at managing space. So if you're thinking about traveling this summer, you've got to get real serious about it and do your homework and start looking for airline ticket now if you haven't. If you're flying before Labor Day, you want to try to fly on Tuesday or Wednesday if you possibly can. Those are traditionally the slower days of the work week, and they're also, more importantly, the days that Southwest offers sales fairly regularly. If Southwest offers a sale, that's important because everybody else is going to match their fare generally on that route. Other good times to fly are Saturday night or early Sunday morning, the very first flight Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon. Those are times when most people don't care to fly, so they may not be your first choice getting up at 3 in the morning to get to the airport to catch a 6 a.m. flight, but it might save you several hundred dollars. A couple of other things to think about. Consider if you're flying to Chicago, fly to Milwaukee. You'll find Milwaukee is 65 miles away. You'll find cheaper rental cars, lower rental car taxes, and airfares that sometimes will save you on United Airlines, for example. One way to Chicago, $500. One way to Milwaukee, $300.
Mm-hmm.
pretty amazing. Also, if you're flying to Southern California, Burbank is a good choice. Southwest is having a heck of a time filling those planes to Burbank because it was mostly a commuter run, and there aren't as many people flying for business between those two. Also, if you're thinking about Southern California, you can't find a good fare on Southwest. Remember, JetBlue flies to Long Beach, which is a real kind of central location there in Southern California. So take a look at the JetBlue website, and sometimes their fares are a little differently structured than Southwest. Tom, let me just give the folks a couple of quick hints about the fare that they're looking for. If you're flying into the middle part of the country, let's call it Minneapolis, St. Louis, Chicago, Dallas, if you can get an airfare that's below $350, you should be all over it round trip. Really, if you get something below $400, that's a pretty good fare. If you're going all the way to the East Coast or somewhere in the South, Miami, Atlanta, something like that, if you can get a fare that starts with a four, you're doing pretty well. Otherwise, you're going to find that in most cases the fares are $500 to $600, probably about $75 to $100 more than they were last year. Some of that is fuel, but frankly, some of it is just that the airlines are doing such a great job of managing their inventory that there are very few empty seats out there, and that's just, it's going to be an issue for people who wait until the last minute. One final hint: if you're flying after Labor Day, I expect business travel after Labor Day might very well fall off of a cliff. So watch those September airfares and don't jump on them quite as quickly as you would if you're flying in August. That would be my wisdom.
And there you have it from Mark Hoffman. What to look out for this summer if you plan to do some flying. Well, we've got our first segment of our Kiva program coming up in just a little bit. Mark, we'll look forward to seeing you back home.
Thank you, Tom. Folks, we have a really special program for you here today. We're going to talk with the man who basically is the godfather of all the frequent flyer groups online. We've got the gentleman who runs this charity in San Francisco that you're going to learn about. A very, very special. I really encourage you to stay tuned for the rest of this hour. We have got some really good stuff for you.
We are the Travel Guys right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Mark, you really can dig up literally some of the most interesting guests that you could possibly want for this radio program. Tell me what you know about this guy.
Joining us is Randy Peterson. Randy and I met formally at an event in San Francisco called the Kiva, and we were all learning about something together that Randy and his group were already involved in. And dare I say, Tom, that it appears Randy is pretty modest about all of this, but I think that we are talking to the godfather of the websites for frequent flyer travelers right here.
It certainly sounds like it.
Randy is the man who has spawned more of these different folks, and as he said, mentored people and encouraged them along the way. And I saw a lot of that at what was going on last weekend. Randy, what I really saw in San Francisco at that Kiva event was a community, a real true community of frequent flyers from all over the place who had no real affiliation besides belonging to this one website.
And it's true. You know, we had one of the gentlemen flew all the way from Auckland, New Zealand just for that event, and from all over the place. Another one was coming from Norway and had a stomach virus at the last second, but they come from all over. And, you know, the interesting thing, and as we get into supporting Kiva, and it's been it's not just Kiva, but for years we've kind of tried to, you know, have a rallying point for frequent flyers. I've been doing this for 25 years, kind of helping frequent flyers. I started out with a magazine called Inside Flyer, and in 1995 started the first community for travelers out there called Flyer Talk, and it became really big. It is still the 800-pound gorilla, and it's since gone on to start Boarding Area, which is a community of bloggers, and the new Mile Point, which is kind of a second generation and more social, kind of like a Facebook, if you will, for frequent flyers. But really started through all of this is that, you know, all of my customers are pretty much the mileage aficionados. They love their upgrades. They love their miles. And I'm glad that I've been able to kind of, you know, teach them a few things through the years and now kind of nurture and help them make sure that they get the knowledge they need to be able to figure out which are the best programs to belong to, how best to redeem your miles, and so on and so forth. But there's one thing through the years that I've really thought about, and that's where Kiva comes in, is that, you know, again, love the miles, love the upgrades, but, you know, the typical mileage guy is kind of a stereotype. They're kind of viewed as greedy, self-centered, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's Mark. That's Mark.
Describes a lot of us out there.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea is let me help people kind of do something different. Is that, yeah, we got our millions of miles, and we're going to grovel for every upgrade, but let's give back, because, frankly, frequent flyer programs have been very generous to a lot of us. You know, they've been around for 30 years. There's, I don't know, 400,000 mileage millionaires out there. So there's a lot of wealth and travel around the world. So the idea was, is let's look at opportunities to kind of give back to others, because by and large, hey, we've done well. We don't have to spend money on travel. We just redeem our miles. So that's kind of where Kiva came in. And
does Kiva stand for something? Where does that word generate? And excuse me if I should know.
No, well, actually, I don't know. My wife asked me last night, and I said, you know, I don't really know. I think it's probably some term that stands for home or center hub.
And we'll have the Kiva folks on the program a little bit later, so we are going to address that exact issue. Let's, for people who don't know what Kiva is, Randy, it is an online community. That is, well, let me let you describe it. You've been involved in it longer than I have.
Yeah, it's basically microfinance. Years ago, we've heard stories about how someone in India came up with the idea to loan $5 or $25 to somebody needing help in some country other than the U.S. Mm-hmm. And this is what they do. Maybe they take that money and go buy charcoal and sell it along the roadside there in India. Maybe they use it in Peru to buy Coca-Cola and resell it out on the street as a vendor. Maybe it's a collaborative of women in Zimbabwe that take this money and buy used clothing and mend it and resell it at a village store. So the idea was in other places of the world, give someone a little bit of money, and it's not like we may go down to the bank and say, hey, I need $50,000 to start a new business. In other places, $25 helps them start a business. So the idea of microfinance, we loan $25, and that's the standard loan through Kiva, and it goes to somebody who has approached Kiva in their network and say, I'd like to borrow money, and here's the reason why. You can go on Kiva and see their story, see their picture, find out that they do want to buy charcoal in India and resell it along the roadside, or they want to get a taxi cab repaired in any of the Middle East countries. So that's kind of the idea. And then when you loan that money out, it goes to that person, and then they pay it back. You know, it might be a 9-month loan on the $25. So 1 month, you may get a repayment of $1.73, but they repay it. You've done something pretty good to help somebody elsewhere in the world. And then the idea is, well, now that you've got your money back, let's reloan it. And that's kind of what MilePoint is into, helping people out there, again, frequent flyers, giving back. And then as we get repaid, let's keep reloaning. And it's a lot of fun, honestly, because you get into segments. Like, I tend to loan to women's groups. So it's a group in Iran. It's a group in Peru. It's a group in India. It's a group in China, a collaborative of 6, 7, 8 women that get together and do something in their community. And that's kind of my little specialty.
Now, Randy, the people who we should tell folks that the repayment on these loans runs well over 98%, which is really pretty amazing.
That you would loan a little default. In fact, I've got 3,000 loans out there, and I've never had a default on any of my loans.
That is quite phenomenal, and almost it's hard for some people to, it's a perception that people have a hard time getting their hands around, that I could loan $25 to somebody that I do not know and does not know me on the other side of the planet, and the chances of them paying the money back to me are almost 99%.
Yeah.
It just is phenomenal. Randy, how does, I really kind of felt the love when I was with the group down in San Francisco for a couple of days. We went behind the scenes at Virgin America, and we had a lot of fun together. You mentioned that these folks, frequent flyers, are really willing to give back. How is it that you got connected to Kiva?
You know, that's a good question. When I owned Flyer Talk and started Flyer Talk, about 5 years ago, another member of Flyer Talk actually mentioned to me, because I had already had many charities involved with Flyer Talk. I was a big supporter of Komen for the Cure, Live Strong, Doctors Without Borders, and he happened to mention this thing about microfinance, and I didn't know much about it. I looked it up, did some research on Kiva, and said, I tell you what, I think that's a good idea. I will make that an official charity here on Flyer Talk. So we got a team going on Flyer Talk, and the team there now has about 200 members, and they've loaned, then repaid back, and reloaned. So that's been going on for
years. They've loaned. What's the total number of dollars that just this one group of people on MilePoint has loaned? It's over $1 million.
Oh, it's MilePoint. It's amazing. MilePoint, the lending team, is about a year old. Right now, Mark, while we were in San Francisco, we passed loaning out more than $2 million to Kiva at $25 a loan.
Wow.
Our first year. And actually, we're right now coming on $500,000 loaned to Kiva just for the month of March. So, the idea is that, yeah, frequent flyers are greedy, but I've been doing this a long time, and I've been able to get their attention and kind of say, hey, let's give back. And it really is working, because these people are fanatical about their miles, but they do realize there's a good social responsibility to help others.
Randy, I really enjoyed being a part of the gathering in San Francisco. I really congratulate you for what you have created here among some frequent travelers. I appreciate your time, and we're going to check back in with you in a couple of months and kind of let you know how our new little Kiva team here is doing on the Travel Guys.
Wonderful news, and of course, it's always a good day to fly out there, so thank you both.
Thank you, Randy. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Lots more to come right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Welcome. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. We're doing a rather special program today, and as I mentioned on more than one occasion, Mark and Sports Leisure Vacation involves themselves in a number of outreach benefit programs, whether it be PBS and supporting our public television programs or something like Kiva. Mark, who do we have next?
Well, we just finished in the first half of the program talking to Randy Peterson from MilePoint, and Randy told us all about this group of frequent flyers, for those of you who are just joining us, who got together and have been raising money for people in third world countries, loaning them $25 at a time, and it's a really fascinating social program. It's kind of an outgrowth of social media. Now, having said that, I would like to introduce our listeners to Matt Flannery. Hi, Matt.
Hi, guys. Nice to be here.
Matt,
welcome.
Matt is joining us from San Francisco, and Matt is executive director. Is that your title, Matt? Am I getting that right?
Technically CEO.
Okay.
Whatever works.
Grand Chief Cook and Bottle Washer at Kiva.org.
I always wondered what CEO meant.
Yeah.
Chief Cook and
If you're sitting in front of a computer right now, I would encourage you to type in www.kiva.org, and that would make you much smarter traveler as we go through this conversation.
I'm there now.
There you go. Matt, tell us about, and our listeners, about Kiva and what it does and how you came to start it. We met in San Francisco when a bunch of frequent flyers came to town a month or so ago, and you did a wonderful job of sharing your passion with us. Can you do that again for me?
I started Kiva in 2004 with a couple people, and our mission is to connect people through lending to alleviate poverty. And the way we do that today is we run a global person-to-person lending website where people from all over the world can lend to people from all over the world in small increments to help them start a business, grow a business, go to school, buy a green energy product, do a range of things to change the world.
Now, Matt, many of the people who on your, if people go to the website, they will see that all of these folks in need of financial assistance who have been, they have been screened and they're posted here. Many of the, a great percentage of the people are women, and many of the people that you're trying to help are in third world countries. Explain how that, why that is.
Great. Well, I started Kiva in Uganda in East Africa in 2004 with a couple people, and basically, we were working out there doing impact assessment for a microfinance institution, which is a small nonprofit that lends money to people to help them grow or start a business, really small amounts, like $200 or $300 each. And what we find is they typically pay back about 98% of the time, so really, really high repayment rates. It takes a lot of work to do the lending, but it's really fruitful and really productive when it works. Another thing that's interesting is it turns out that all over the world, when you talk about microlending, it's usually women who are receiving the loans, and often they're receiving the loans in groups. So women often pay back with at a higher rate than men, and they often use the loan to really help their family more so than men, and they often do so and work better in groups. And so
boy, I tell you, us poor guys, we're just like, you just made me feel useless.
I know.
But Matt, you mentioned that. Now, here I am sitting in Sacramento, and I'm loaning money in $25 increments to somebody on the other side of the world that I've never met, who will never meet me. We're never likely to talk to each other. And yet you're telling me that these people are going to repay me. And I mean, you have obviously the facts to support this, that they're going to repay me at 98 plus cents on the dollar. I mean, that's... that far exceeds what I would expect Tom to repay me if I loaned him $20.
There you go.
Yeah, no, it's...
it just strikes me as incredibly phenomenal.
I didn't believe it at first either, but after doing this work for, you know, 7-8 years, I've really seen it firsthand all over the world. We work with people that are in their community. They're screened by a local institution, and they repay the loan within the context of a group often. And so that personal touch really leads to high repayment rates.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, Matt, and maybe you can go into a little more detail as to how are these people selected and screened?
Yeah, well, oftentimes our partners, whether that be in Uganda or Nicaragua or Cambodia, they'll go to a village and they'll ask the village people to get together in a group and take a loan as a group and then mutually guarantee each other. And so if you were doing that, imagine you're doing that in Sacramento or outside of Sacramento, you would want to repay, and you'd only want to be in a group with people you truly trusted. And so what happens is the people that aren't trustworthy or the people that don't have a likelihood of repayment sort of get left out of that group, and people come together with people they trust, and that really creates a high repayment rate.
And Matt, as I look online right now, there are 3,753 loaning opportunities. Now, I want to tell our listeners that when I went to the frequent flyer gathering in San Francisco, we went to the Kiva headquarters. Some of us also got to go to Virgin America, another story for another day. Many of your folks came and spoke to us, explained different aspects of the program, which I just thought was incredibly fascinating. But I opened an account, went online, made a loan to a young man in Peru who was in need of some dollars to get better editing equipment so that he could further his business opportunities. And I'm not scheduled to be repaid for quite some time. And I'm ready to make some more loans. If someone else who is listening right now wanted to get involved, how would they do that?
Well, it's pretty easy. That's my job, is to make it as easy and frictionless as possible. So we've worked pretty hard to make it quite simple. You can just go on kiva.org, that's K-I-V-A.org, and you see pictures and the stories and the business plans of different people all over the world, whether that be in Peru or Tajikistan or even in the USA. And you can see something that speaks to you, and when you see something that speaks to you, you can just lend $25 or more to that person. Typically, the loans get fully funded in a few days, and we send the money directly to that country, 100% of that money to the local institution we partner with in Tajikistan or wherever. And they disperse the loans to the people, and you are linked to that borrower now. When that borrower repays the local institution, that local institution will record it and send us back the money, and we'll give you back the money, and you can lend it over and over and over again.
Very cool. Mark, were you going to click on one of these pictures and do something today?
Well, what I wanted to do was just kind of obviously not all of our listeners are going to be looking at a computer or something like that. But for example, the first one that comes up here on the screen is a group of women from Rwanda. And one of the women is 45 years old. She's married. She has 7 children. They're 61% of the money that they need has been raised. They need $3,300 to buy 200 kilos of potatoes, a bag of chemical fertilizers, a fertilizer, and some other things.
It's very specific.
It is very specific. 61% has been raised, so they have $1,300 to go. And it will show you, if you want to lend, you do it by credit card. Matt, how does Kiva... I've been to your offices. I know that from a corporate standpoint, Kiva is a pretty modest group with a lot of people with a lot of passion in San Francisco. It was really a thrill to be there and see your folks. I wish that there was some way I could bring that to all of my listeners, because to be in your headquarters and to see the fervor and the passion and all the stuff that's going on there on just an ongoing basis is really quite incredibly amazing. But for folks who want to be a part of this, how does Kiva support themselves? How do you cover your administrative costs, et cetera?
Yeah, the simple answer to that question is we ask our users after they lend money, whether that be to the agricultural co-op in Rwanda or someone in Peru, we ask them to give us an optional donation on top of the loan that they make. So if you lend $100 to someone in Rwanda, we'll ask you for a $15 donation. Now, you're free not to give that donation, but it turns out people are quite generous, and most people do.
I heard the frequent flyer group refer to it as a tip jar.
Yeah, that's one way of thinking of it, which is it's just a nice gesture of thanks for making this whole thing work.
So what you're telling me is, and I believe you because I've been through this, but I want our listeners to understand, is that this gets more incredible as it goes. People are lending money to people all over the world, getting the money back in incredible percentages. Most of them are relending the money all over the place. And the administrative cost for all of this is being borne by the people who are doing the lending on a volunteer basis.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful phenomenon that's really changed my opinion of humanity. I was a little bit jaded when I started Kiva, but just seeing an outpouring of generosity, an outpouring of support and love from our lenders all over the world in 100 countries and our borrowers all over the world in over 60 countries just really changed my perspective.
Matt, tell me, this frequent flyer group that met in San Francisco, they have some pretty impressive numbers. I mean, they have been pretty active when you consider that they're just, you know, one small group of people out there.
Yeah, it sort of hit us like a bomb on the website last fall. All of a sudden, this group called Milepoint, which is, we have this thing called lending teams where you can form a team with other people that are like-minded on the website. And all of a sudden, this team called Milepoint came onto the site and started becoming one of the biggest lenders of all time. I learned a lot about them. They're a group of people that are passionate about traveling. They collect miles and points, seek free flights, and they love to convene around that. But they're also super, super generous. So, very quickly, they became one of the top teams, if not the top team, on our website for a few months.
Isn't that amazing,
that
Tom?
That is outstanding.
And trust me, I met a bunch of these folks when they gathered together in San Francisco. They are truly from all walks of life. They are all ages.
People like you.
Is that not true, Matt?
Oh, man, it was totally true. It's such a fun group of people. They came out to San Francisco. Oh. And we had a conference. We had dinner. They came to our office. They're just a really fun, ambitious, well-intentioned group.
A lot of incredible diversity. Matt, with your permission, we're going to check back with you periodically down the road. I'm going to share my Kiva adventures with my listeners and make a few more loans and tell them how things are going. And I'm going to encourage people who are listening to this interview, if you just have a minute, TravelGuysRadio.com will have the whole thing written up for you. But if you go to Kiva.org, you can find out about something that I think Matt said it himself. It changed his view of humanity. I will suggest to you that it might do the same for you. Matt Flannery, the CEO of Kiva.org, truly one of the best things that I've uncovered in a long time. Thank you for your time.
Great work. Thanks, Matt. Guys. Thank you so much.
No worries. Happy to be on the show. Good luck.
You know, Mark, the thing about this program that really amazes me is how simple it is. Simply go to a website. You get a chance to literally see the people that you're donating money to. It's a small amount of money, but it's going to do so much good. They're not asking for tens of thousands of dollars. They're asking for like $25.
Can't you see? I mean, all these people are playing these reality-based games on their iPads and their iPhones and stuff like that. This is almost like that.
It is. It's truly...
Just with real money.
It is truly a reality show, but it's not a show. It's the real world, and you're doing so much good for so many people. And not only that, you where else can you go and make this kind of a contribution to someone and actually get your money back?
And you're actually going to get the money back. So as you pointed out, it's what are people likely to do? They're likely to get the money and just turn right around and give it out to somebody else if you had it to give in the first place. It's just phenomenal. I really do. When we come back after the break, we have now talked to the man who is the head of the frequent flyer group, where this was kind of where they kind of endorsed the charity. Now you've heard about how the charity works. We'd like to introduce you to the man who put together the program in San Francisco that brought all of these frequent flyers. Why did all these people who just collect and hoard points and all the Ben Schlopik type people, why did they do this? How come this has been so successful with them? So when we come back after the break, we're going to talk to the man who put it together and maybe give you a little insight on that.
Right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK, we are the Travel Guys.
So now that we've introduced our listeners, Tom, to Kiva, the international microfinance organization that literally is helping people all over the world, I thought it might be fun. We gathered in San Francisco, had a bunch of frequent flyers and had a conference, and so we can meet these folks, as we were talking on the air there with Matt. And the gentleman who organized this is a gentleman named Ho Yu. Ho is an assistant professor at the Taub Institute for Alzheimer's Disease Research at Columbia University in New York City. And he helped organize this event. And the only reason I mention all that is here's a guy from New York City who organized an event in San Francisco with people from all over the country, indeed a couple of them from outside of the country. We had a few friendly Canucks who came down and joined us. And he made all of this come together. And this group is literally loaning millions of dollars to people. Ho, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much.
What inspired you to create to make this come together?
Well, first of all, I actually also want to acknowledge that, it wasn't just my effort, but on Milepoint we had Randy Peterson, who's the co-founder of Milepoint, as well as J.C. Green. And from Kiva, we had a lot of assistance from Chelsea Bochy, who's the community director, as well as two volunteers, Devin Fisher, as well as Rachel Bigby. But I think what is amazing about our team and what made it so easy to kind of organize this event was the fact that there's so much enthusiasm. It's a team that's only been around for a year or so, and at the time when we started thinking about having an event, it'd only been around for 6 months. But I think Kiva's captivated the enthusiasm of this group.
Now, Kiva has never done anything like this, was my understanding, for a group before. They were it was kind of a trial program for them, too, which I thought made it all the more real.
They were kind of caught by surprise by you guys, Ho.
They were. I think when JC and I first flew to San Francisco to meet them, they kind of thought, "Who are you guys?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you want to do this?" And I think it's about knowledge and kind of empowering ourselves with that knowledge. And you know, when they realized that that was the case, I think they embraced it wholly.
Oh, they have. They we spoke with Matt, and he was taken aside by this. With of all the different organizations and ways that this large group of frequent flyers could have donated or been part of fundraising, what is it about Kiva.org that captivates you and was why you chose it?
I think it's different from other charities that I work with. You know, for one, if you kind of think of things like Red Cross or Doctors Without Borders, these are really frontline emergency relief. Whereas Kiva is something where you can build on generations in that you're trying to take people who are in developing or underprivileged areas and allow them to have their entrepreneurial spirits to raise them above the poverty level. And I think that makes it a very unique opportunity to help out in the world.
It's kind of a way of paying it forward a little bit, Tom, I think.
Yeah, it's the teach a man to fish.
Well, what was the analogy that was made at the Kiva conference? It wasn't teach a man to fish or buy a man a boat. It's the man already has the boat. There's a hole in it. We need to get the hole fixed so he can go out and fish.
There you go.
And I thought that was, and I have to tell both of you guys here as we're sitting here in doing this interview, and I've got the Kiva website up, and two of the loans that they're trying to finance that are on the first page literally have been 100% financed. The financing has finished while I was sitting here, while we were sitting here doing this interview. So it's literally people helping people as the clock ticks by. Tell us how did you get involved in it? What's your passion before we let you go here?
Sure. My passion, actually, how did I get involved with it? I think really I joined with the Milepoint team. Randy Peterson had offered Milepoint members the opportunity to get a Kiva card, take a look at it. I'd heard about Kiva before, but once I started doing a little bit more soul searching and digging of information, I thought, it's an amazing organization, and you know, its growth has been so astounding, and the number of people that they've been able to touch is quite tremendous. And who wouldn't want to be part of that? And that's my kind of philosophy. And you know, hopefully with the Milepoint team, we've also tried to take it further than that. It's not just that we're lending, but we really want to help Kiva grow and you know, raise their abilities to an even greater degree than they already have.
Ho, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to talk to us today. And we are going to help educate our listeners here in Sacramento about Kiva. And who knows, maybe we'll have a Travel Guys lending group before it's all over.
Sounds great. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you, Ho. I'm amazed at what this program has done and how it has taken off. And I think the thing that impresses me most is the fact that the money's paid back, and I know what's going on here is, and you're going to be one of them. When you get your money back, you're going to turn around and lend it to somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
Else.
and it's better than Farmville, because these are real people, Tom, and these are real, you know, these are real situations. So
yeah.
It's kind of taking virtual reality to reality. You are really helping these people. It's pretty amazing.
And that pretty much wraps up our special edition of the Travel Guys radio program. And don't forget now, for those of you that find this extremely fascinating like Mark and I do, all you have to do is visit TravelGuysRadio.com.
Or you can go to Kiva.org. Either place, you will find, we'll get you a connection from our website, or you can go directly to theirs. And it's very simple. Right up there in front of you are going to come all these people who need your assistance, and you can decide if you'd like to play. And if you have any questions or I can help you in any way, send me a note at TravelGuysRadio.com, and we will be seeing you next week on Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
Remember, we are the Travel Guys, and an hour a week is all we ask.
See you next time.